And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Man, y'all are some texting machines today. Text lines are still open. You want to call it in, it's 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Talk about Kamala having some pander power. I mean, she is, if she has a new superpower, it's pandering. And the idea that she is going to literally identify one demographic, black men, and say, I'll give you a bunch of stuff. If you're a black man, I'll give you money. I'll give you pot. It'll be great. I mean, you look at it and go, come on, lady, that's embarrassing. You're asking to hold the highest office in the world, really. And that's what you got. I'll give you pot if you'll vote for me. I mean, that is just sad. Stephen from Somerville has checked in on the text line. He says, for me being half black, does that mean I only get half the loan?
that's the real question, right?
Yes.
There.
Yes. I'm sorry, Stephen. You only get half a reparation, dude. And apparently under Kamala's plan, you get half a bud. Just saying.
Man, the rationing of it is bad.
Okay. A couple more, and then I'll jump on in. Pam from Madison heard my input. She says API, the Alabama policy, and it's the only one she hadn't checked yet. She will. Somebody else checked in on this, too. Where did it go? TL from Huntsville says there's a Christian voter guide at faithwins.us. And so I don't know if that's Alabama-specific or just like, you know, in general, but faithwins.us. Thanks, TL. Red from Tony, Alabama says, my youth group at Fort Benning was Young Life 10 to 15 years ago. Did you know a guy named Steve Paquette? I did not know Steve. I came off Young Life staff in 99, so he's probably right after my time. But we were also just starting what they call MCYM, the Military Community Youth Ministries, which was Young Life's military outreach for kids. So anyway, glad of it, man. Red, thanks for checking in. Bruce from Springville says, this election cycle is actually spiritual, good versus evil. A satanic figure in female clothes, the only way to defeat her is by doing battle with your vote. I appeal to Christians in all races to vote. Good enough. Thanks, man. Robert from Athens, dear Colonel Phil, the desperate behavior of the Kamala campaign fills me with hope. It may be a sign that Democrats do not have the resources in place to cheat and thereby steal the election. This doesn't mean there won't be trouble, but our republic may be more resilient than the left's madness. Good luck and may God bless America. Robert from Athens. We got some great textures in here, man. They're just spot on. Look, let me jump into that topic. Democrats are panicking. What were you telling me beforehand, too? And I don't track it this way, but apparently it's become quite the thing for the bookies to post their numbers, right?
Oh, yeah. Polymarket is one popular betting site. You can bet on a lot of different things on there, but Trump, as of 5 hours ago, is up to 60% to win. And I believe last week he was like in the 48 or 49%. And so it has shot up around 10 points in about a week. And, you know, they're talking about Kamala, maybe her internal polling is not looking very good. This, like, today, a lot of polls came out and they tightened tremendously. To where essentially every battleground state is a toss-up at this point, which polling tends to favor Democrats. So if it's a toss-up in those, then that's not good, because Trump very well could have the edge in those states.
Yeah, and not only that, but when you compare it to where the numbers were this time in the 2016 and 2020 elections, you can see where this is an entirely different sort of construct than what we had back then. Mm-hmm. And Trump was notoriously under-polling back in those days, too.
Yeah.
While
the polls have tightened tremendously, the betting markets have shot up for Trump. So
what do we call that? The bookie poll?
The bookie poll, yeah.
The bookie poll.
Well, the poll with actual money behind it. So, you know.
Okay, there's that.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, to add to what he just said, so WokeSpy is a site that I pull my resources from sometimes. WokeSpy has a piece, Democrats enter panic mode as Trump tightens the race in swing states. So I'm going to jump into this pandering in chief thing, but I got to kind of lay the foundation for it. JP just brought up the fact that the bookie sites are now going like way up, like in double digit increases for Trump. You've got this one from Wilkes-Barre. Democrats are anxious about recent polling data. This is Dateline yesterday, by the way. And by the way, let our caller know I got to jump in this material for a bit, so it's going to be a while, all right? He may want to call back. Kamala Harris has held a small but noticeable lead over Donald Trump since President Joe Biden announced his intention to stand aside at the upcoming presidential election. She had a honeymoon period, it notes, for a fresh face boosting her popularity, but the race has now tightened. So here's where we are. Within the battleground states, there's three of them that are considered swing states right now: Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania especially is considered to be, like, with 19 electoral college votes, it's crucial. Whoever wins Pennsylvania may well be the next president of the United States. Michigan and Wisconsin, they're strong. They've got seven each electoral votes. Harris had a 2 to 3 point percentage lead, right? It has shrunk to being a toss-up. Her one-point lead that she sort of holds now, depending on how you look at things. By the way, the margin of error is like 4 points. So that means wow, this is like, it's beyond close. It's anybody's game right now in those states. But if you look at where she was in 20, where Democrats were in 2016 and 2020, it says Hillary Clinton was leading Biden. Hillary Clinton and Biden both led by 8 and 7 points respectively in those states at this time in their elections. Wow. Trump would go on then to perform even considerably better, despite the fact that polling showed him down by 7 or 8 points. So that's where we are. Is there a panic going on? I think you can smell it. You can smell the fear. You can smell the fear. There is a thrashing in the water right now as they're getting tired of treading and they're not sure what to do. So what's your solution? Well, you go out there and you look at the polls and you try to find something that you can grab hold of that says, we can fix that one. And that's what they're doing. So they've gone into two routes here that have just become laughable in recent days. Men, and then specifically next, black men. Watching their media efforts. I mean, yesterday we're sitting here in the studio and I looked at JP and I said, who does the Harris Waltz social media? It is to the point of being laughable. And I think you said what? Some like 16-year-old
some Gen Zer probably around my age.
Exactly. Well, you would do a better job, let me just say. So I got an article here from the New York Post that talks about the fact that one of the first things they did was they came out and they started belittling men. Like literally just belittling men. Like the headline of the article, New York Post, Dateline today, yesterday, Democrats have a man problem, and belittling them is only making it worse. Some of what they've been putting out, I'm sitting here watching it, and I think it's as if Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory tried to create a Manly Man ad. Like, this is what he thinks that Manly Man must be, because he's not one, so it must be this stereotype. And he goes out and tries too hard and makes it all worse. So last week, they began to realize they weren't gaining ground with men. In fact, they were losing big. The article I've got here said, dudes just aren't into her. So there's that. Trump is increasingly, though, by the way, attracting these demographics that used to always be Democrat strongholds. They're slipping in the double digits with the black vote leaving. They don't know what to do about the fact that the Teamsters did not endorse them. I mean, these are their groups, right? This is their peeps. They're supposed to have it. You can't take them away from us. Those are our votes. I got news. They're sick of being treated like, you know, cattle. So the strategy then comes out to try to, you know, sway men to this feckless presidential candidate they've got. And the way they do it is by calling them misogynists and reducing them to Carhartt caricatures, is what it says here. What are you shaking your head about over there?
The Carhartt.
Carhartt.
by the way, I don't know who this lady was, but I saw a clip of her on CNN talking about Kamala potentially going on the Joe Rogan podcast. And she was like, you know, Joe Rogan's has a strongly male audience who may have not even heard anything Kamala Harris has ever said. It's like, really? You think men are that stupid?
They do.
Yeah.
They do think men are that stupid. Well, and by the way, Joe Rogan is like, he's somewhat of a toxically masculine man. So he's probably spent so much time in the gym and taking human growth hormone that he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to go woman-splain him, I guess.
Or enlighten his dumb male audience.
That's exactly right. So it gets worse when you see that they started focusing then on black men. By the way, let me go back to the men thing. I will say this. If you haven't seen it, I've already mocked it once before, but they did they put out a piece called the Man Enough commercial. This is the one that Sheldon Cooper must have made for them. The Man Enough commercial. It's got like this bunch of male actors all butched up, right? I'm wearing jeans and flannel clothes. I must be a man. And he looks like a good wind could blow him over. Like, give that man a sandwich, please. And then you got the guy I ain't afraid to deadlift 500 pounds, and I can also braid the crap out of my daughter's hair. What are we doing here? And then I can cook my steak rare and drink double barrel bourbon and still be sensitive in front of my wife. Nobody talks like this. And then they end it with saying, and I'm man enough to support a woman for president. Kay, I'm pretty sure some of y'all are. But we also found out later on they were actors. Bad actors, but actors. I mean, it's beyond cringe. It's really getting to the point of just being embarrassing. And then you look at, okay, what are they doing to black men? Well, I mentioned in my monologue a moment ago, first thing they did was they trotted out Barack Obama. Got to fix this. Who's the best one we got? Isn't Barack still considered hip? Are they into him? Let's bring him out. Okay. Break glass, emergency, bring out Barack Obama. What does he do? He goes into a shame on you speech. He goes into a shaming for the vote. He literally scolded a group of black men saying that they were lacking energy. He wasn't feeling the energy from the brothers, he said, for the female candidate. And he tried to tell them, don't you understand? Kamala's got, you know, she's got the gravitas. Don't you understand? I mean, she's got it going on. I mean, she knows where you've been. She'd been on those streets. I mean, this whole speech was just, it was a scolding, and it was also pretty gross, and it was kind of weird when you consider that he had to leave Martha's Vineyard, where his mansion is, to come there to give the speech about the mean streets. And then on top of that, he's half white himself, although he doesn't like to play that up. And oh, by the way, Kamala is married to a white guy. Well, and oh, by the way, Kamala selected her vice presidential candidate, and it's Elmer Fudd, the white guy. And so you look at it and go, what are you doing? And I said in my monologue earlier, if you didn't hear it, Vernon Jones, who is a conservative black Republican over in Georgia, he made the point. He said, if all that stuff is true, if Kamala can marry a white guy, and if she can also, oh, by the way, have a white VP, then how come black men can't vote for a white president if they want to? It's a great question. So what did she do? She came out with a plan. I'm going to break it down in more detail after the break. But y'all, this is some pander power right here. The panderer in chief has now offered up all of the goodness, all of the Christmas trees. Everybody's going to get a take-home gift from the Kamala campaign. Take me to a break there, JP. We'll do it. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, number one, triple dipper, panderer in chief. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades, and they can't handle it. I got somebody right now trolling me on Twitter. By the way, you can follow me personally on Twitter. We have Right Side Media has its own X feed, as well as Instagram and all the rest of it. Me on personal account is at Sen Phil Williams. It's S-E-N Phil Williams. And I've got a guy on here who's an absolute racist, who is taking me to task, believing that there's not a single thing out there that conservatives would ever say that black people would be a part of. And then he just really said, Philly here ignores that his party barely has a smidgen of black people who align with their party outside of social media. And I'm just going down the line. I just started naming Clarence Thomas, Ben Carson, Condoleezza Rice, Sage Steele, Thomas Sowell, Shelby Steele, Larry Elder, David Webb, Walter Williams, Byron Daniels, John James, Ada Fisher, Star Parker, Candace Owens, Eldridge Cleaver. I'm just going to keep going. It's about policy. I mean, granted, I'm fully aware that for reasons that I can't fully embrace or explain, the Democrat Party has had the bulk of what we would call the black vote for decades. Even though the Democrat Party is the party of the KKK, they are the party of slavery, they are the party which opposed, you know, the civil rights movement. It's nonetheless, they have somehow or another been embraced by the bulk of the black vote. But I think that more and more what you're seeing is, with the age of information being so easily and readily attainable, people are not in the dark anymore. Those who want to know can know. And so that being said, there's a shifting. There's a, I don't want to call it an age of enlightenment, but you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of folks. In fact, Candace Owens, she coined the phrase the Blacksit. She was calling it the Blacksit, that encouraging people to recognize that if you do not feel like your life is better off, then why do you keep voting Democrats in? And it's a great point. So Harris has proposed this 1 million forgivable loans to black entrepreneurs. You have to look at this and go, you know, I'm pretty sure what you're going to find is that's called unconstitutional. They already got their hand slapped about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, when the Harris or the Biden-Harris administration tried to do a loan program just for black farmers. And the Supreme Court shot it down and said that's unconstitutional. You cannot give money or benefits to a single demographic. And yet, what's she doing? Story here on CNBC. Vice President Kamala Harris unveiled her opportunity agenda for black men, which includes a proposal of forgivable loans up to $20,000 to black entrepreneurs. Let me just go ahead and point out that if it's a forgivable loan, that means it's free money. So how would this work? I mean, and what are the qualifications? I need to know, JP, if I identify as black, do I get one of these loans? Is that the way this is going to work?
Likely not, no.
Well, they make the rules. We're allowed to identify. What if I am now demographic fluid?
But it's funny, is if you identified as female, you would probably get certain female benefits, but it doesn't apply.
I would at least get free feminine hygiene products.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee. Yes, in the men's room. But that being, Tim Walz would see to it. But right now, there's how are they going to manage this? Because you talk about fraud. I mean, they're going to have people that, are they going to have a percentage of their, you know, their DNA makeup examined to see whether they fully qualify? Do they have to be more than 50% black to qualify? Are they going to have a certain amount of melanin in their skin before they're allowed to qualify? How are they going to manage this? There's no way.
I don't know, but the racism behind you can't do it on your own, you need this government handout is...
Thank you.
That's the part that surprises me they don't see through.
You just pushed me to the next point I was about to make. That's exactly right. They are literally saying you can't get by without government. You have to have an entitlement mentality. Here, we'll take care of you because we know you can't take care of yourself. Oh, my gosh. And it's going to be struck down. If she even gets this off the ground, well, she's not going to because we're not going to see her get elected. So there's that. But right now, CNBC even looks at this and goes, yeah, that's probably not going to work. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll wrap this up right after the break. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. We're going to get you all the way to go home time and through the rest of the week to the weekend. So let me wrap this thing up, and I'll take some text messages too. So this plan she's got, Kamala, this plan she's got that's, you know, going to make the world better for black men only. It's, first of all, it's sick. It's disgusting. It's absolutely asinine. It's insulting. It's demeaning to black men everywhere. It's also comical. That's the thing, is you look at it and go, there's a Saturday Night Live skit in here. I mean, what you basically did with this plan was you just said to all the black men in America, y'all don't know how to handle your money, and y'all don't know how to maintain your own good health, and y'all just need some pot to smoke, And oh, by the way, I'm going to make sure and give you some free money because you don't know how to get some capital for a business without the government doing it for you. There, how you like me now? That's what she's doing. She just completely demeaned and insulted an entire demographic in America. And some of this you look at and go, I got the CNBC article talking about some of this, and they point out exactly what I said. With regards to her, now she has part of the five-point plan, is she's going to make sure that black men know their cryptocurrency is safe. What? I'm not kidding you. That's the plan. I've got it right here. Protect cryptocurrency investments so black men who make them know their money is safe. That's point number three on the five-point plan. I just read it to you verbatim. So what does that mean? Well, CNBC says, Harris knows that more than 20% of black Americans own or have cryptocurrency assets, which is why her plans will make sure owners of and investors in digital assets benefit. It is not clear what that framework would look like, they say. Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, we have no idea, even though we're supposed to be like a network that's based upon like economics. We have no idea what she means, but we know why she's saying it. I know why she's saying it. She's pandering. How about the, and then my favorite is still number five. Look, and by the way, I'm holding up the plan. I've got it right here in the camera. I'm holding up the plan. Number five on the plan is the one that, listen, if Saturday Night Live doesn't do a skit on this, they are missing the moment. But she's literally got number five on the plan. Legalize recreational marijuana and create opportunities for black Americans to succeed in this new industry. All God's children know, if you're a black man, you need some weed. That's what she said. I'm just giving you the interpretation. It's messed up. Oh, by the way, she's running for president of the United States, leader of the free world, commander-in-chief of the military. Yeah. Handyman from Keto says, are we going to have a white-only and a black-only entrance to the bank now? You know what? If you're applying for the loan, I guess so. Jim from Grove Oak says, the third definition of pander in my 10-pound, 64-year-old dictionary is pimp. How fitting. Wow. Wow. Is it really? If you're pandering, then you're pimping? Wow. Okay. Ryan from Hazel Green says, I'd rather see Kamala go to the Sean Ryan show. That'd be more interesting in my opinion. Can I make a motion to start calling her, calling Harris Kamikaze? She's metaphorically killing herself to take out the enemy. Kamikaze Harris. That's really not bad. That's Kamikaze Kamala at the very least.
It fits.
It does fit.
It fits.
Well played, Ryan. Give him some applause on that one. I think he deserves it. That's pretty good. Ryan from Hazel Green. Crystal from Moulton says, when you talk about Charlemagne, please don't extend his name any longer. God Almighty is still on the throne. Charlemagne is not. You're right, although it is God with a little g.
I was going to say lowercase g.
Yeah, lowercase g, I think, is absolutely. Ken from Harvest says, you ought to apologize for comparing Tim Walz to Elmer Fudd. Yes, Elmer Fudd deserves an apology. He is much more masculine than Tim. This audience is brutal today. Brian from Huntsville says, twisted laugh, close to Halloween. She's failing in the polls because she's scared of someone throwing a bucket of water on her. Oh, you see what she did? Nice. Well played, Brian. Jeff from Indiana says, Kamala's pandering is more like Pandora's box. You don't want to open that thing. Only bad things will happen. Well, I get it. And listen, I don't know. I don't know if... Here's part of my question as we wind this up before I get to the break. Imagine, if you will, the Harris campaign staff sitting around the conference table. What are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? I don't know. Anybody got ideas? Let's start putting them on the whiteboard. Let's go ahead and whiteboard these ideas. You ready? We're going to go ahead and war game this. And then they start coming up with ideas. And somebody says, let's give them pot. Oh, put that on the list. And somebody else says, I think they're all scared of their crypto. We ought to say we'll make their crypto safe. Right. For black men only? Right. For black men only. Okay. And they're writing this on the board. And they're looking at each other like they really got it going on. Imagine the meeting. And then I have to also wonder, Was Kamala in the meeting? Were any of these her ideas? Or at the very least, did she go, I like that one, keep that on the list?
None of her ideas are her ideas, considering all the flip-flops she's had. She's being told what to say. And like I say that jokingly, but look, I mean, she's flip-flopped on almost every major issue.
So she is merely a sock puppet at this point.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, Joe Biden was too. Joe Biden also flip-flopping it. I mean, the past, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are just puppets for the Democratic Party at this point. And, you know, from fracking to now being pro-marijuana after putting over 1,900 people in jail for marijuana while she was DA. Yep. I mean, she doesn't have an authentic belief that she has it flip-flopped.
There's not
on.
An authentic bone in her body. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me ask you this then, just while you're opining with me. In that meeting, in that wargaming session, in that whiteboarding they did of the plan, okay, we got to come up with a plan. What's the plan going to have? Got to keep it simple. Got to keep it, you know, use the KISS principle, keep it simple and stupid. So it's only 5 points. Okay, 5 points. Do you think they had like 10 or 12 points and they weeded it down to five? Were these the best of the best five of the points they had? What do you think?
No, I think these are the five that they came like the I think that's all they came up with.
That's
I think that's all they came
They're
up
like,
with.
They're like, I don't know. I got nothing.
And I don't think Kamala is in those meetings. No. They she look may over, be in them, but she's being told what to do.
They look over to the left side of the table. Jim, you've been rather quiet. What have you got to add? I got nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, so we got five. We got to do something. I'll go with five. Just go with five. So that's what they did. They went with five.
I think so. And I think, you know, she's being directed in this campaign, you know, being told, you should probably go on the Joe Rogan podcast, Kamala. You should probably do this. You should probably say this next.
I hope
you
know? Bret Baier wears her out on Fox today about this five-point plan. Mm-hmm. I hope he gets her on the flip-flopping. I hope he gets her on Afghanistan, big time. I hope he gets her on the border, big time. And I hope he takes this five-point plan and looks at her and goes, really? That's what you got? 2 weeks before the election? Oh, by the way, here's a piece that no one's even talked about yet. Let's go ahead and be the first ones on right side. She's in office right now. If she wants to do this stuff, why isn't she going, hey, Joe, listen, I got an idea, and since I'm going to be the one, I need you to start doing it now. And then have a big signing session and announce, I have used the position that I have been given by the voters to do these things for you now. Why is she going to wait till next year?
That's a great question. I don't have an answer for that.
if you can legalize pot and give away free money and make crypto safer for black men only, then why are we not doing it now?
That's genius.
Last few texts and I'll go to the break. Mike from Coxie says Elmer Fudd can load a shotgun. Yes. Yes, he can. Chris from Huntsville says her mama called her commie. She's a sideshow at a lost circus. Bogus Joe's own. Listen, I can't tell what's happening here with his voice text or something. Anyway, bottom line is it's going away. Ken from Harvest says there's no whiteboard in Kamala's meetings. It's not diverse enough. The pens probably don't work either. Take me to a break, JP. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back and change the topic. We're going to the border next, you guys, which, by the way, she was the border czar, so we'll see how that goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.